Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Almost every single American is likely to have a chemical in their blood used in the production of the nonstick coating Teflon. It is known as C8. Residents of one West Virginia town, Parkersburg, were exposed to very high levels of C8 after DuPont, the company that created Teflon, dumped waste from the production of Teflon into the waterways. Wildlife began to die off. One rancher noticed his cows developing illnesses and deformities, and residents suffered from high rates of cancer and other diseases. We have done many shows about Teflon and DuPont, but there's a new documentary out that really does a great job of connecting the dots. It's called The Devil We Know. And today's guest, filmmaker Stephanie Suchtig, shows how deeply impacted the residents of the Ohio River Valley are as a result of DuPont's practices, and offers evidence that the company knew for years that C8 had devastating health effects, but failed to take steps to protect workers' or neighbors' health. Today, we'll learn more about the film and how really the world, not just the U.S., has been contaminated with this toxin. Stephanie Suchtig is an award-winning documentary filmmaker and co-founder of Atlas Films. She is a 2016 Sundance Institute Catalyst Fellow. Her previous films include Fed Up and Under the Gun. Her most recent film is called The Devil We Know. It premiered at Sundance in January, and you can find the trailer at yourcallradio.org. Hi, Stephanie. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for having me, and thank you for that beautiful introduction. I feel like, you should be like, and she has many leather-bound books. It sounds unlike who I feel like I am, but thank you.
Well, no, you've done amazing work. I have to thank you for this documentary, because we have had Sharon Lerner on, the Intercept reporter, who you featured in your film. I mean, she does amazing reporting on these issues, and of course, it's so important to have these reports out, but to see the documentary where you really connect the dots and you interview people who have been personally affected, the cancers, the baby deformities, I mean, it's so, so sad. When did you first start reading about and learning about DuPont's Teflon?
You know, I always struggle if it was first through Sharon's work or if it was that New York Times cover story that they did. It was called DuPont's Worst Nightmare, and it featured the lead attorney in this case, Rob Balot, who's an interesting character because his background is actually defending corporations, chemical corporations. So the fact that he took on a chemical corporation was a really big deal. So it was, right around the time, I know we had Under the Gun at Sundance, and I started reading these reports, and I had been looking for really like 10 years to do a story on chemical contamination. When I made my first film, Tapped, which was about the bottled water industry, we talked a lot about BPA. And at that time, BPA wasn't, what it is today in terms of people being aware of it and there being tons of BPA-free products. And it was the first time that I learned that the chemical corporations really operate with impunity and that there is no unbiased regulatory agency testing the chemicals that are in our household products to make sure that they're safe for us. And I was so astonished by that, that I really wanted to make that the focus of a project I was doing. But I found it really a tricky story to tell without a human interest angle to it. So when I first started reading about what was happening in Parkersburg, I was hooked. I was like a dog with a bone that this was a story that I just had to tell. And it started with, the people in Parkersburg. And what we learned was that there is a farmer and a gym teacher that decided to take on, one of the largest chemical corporations in the world. And I found that to be, this David and Goliath story to be so inspiring. And, in these strange days that we're living in now, the the idea that of citizen involvement, of the everyman taking a stand for things, I think is in many ways more important than ever. Mm-hmm. So I found it to be inspiring and infuriating. And at that time, I did not know that I would uncover this incredible treasure trove of depositions and internal documents from DuPont.
So that was also really incredible to learn about these documents. And you have incredible footage of lawyers asking DuPont's PR people, their CEO, about what they wrote. And we'll talk about that and the connection between DuPont and the EPA and the revolving door. It really is a story of David versus Goliath, and there's so many like it. But the one thing that's also fascinating about this and really frightening is that according to CDC data from 2007, C8, one of the chemicals used in the production of Teflon, is in 99% of Americans' blood. So it's in my blood, it's in your blood. Yes. It's just incredible to think that
it is.
This is in all of our bodies.
I know, and you know, I just don't think the studies have been done to show, but I think you would find this to be across the world. And, you know, as we talk about in the film, there was this moment where internally DuPont realized that, you know, they needed to do some tests to figure out what this chemical was doing. They knew that it was affecting animals, and they were showing, you know, cancer in animals, and they were looking for clean blood to test against the blood of their workers, and they couldn't find clean blood. They tested. They looked everywhere. They even looked in baby blood to have this sample study of this, you know, pure blood versus their employees' blood, and they couldn't find it. When they finally found it, it was through like archived blood supplies that were taken during the Korean War that they were able to finally found untainted blood, because their product became so pervasive. And I think when you hear Teflon, you might be listening and saying, oh, I know not to use my Teflon pans. But what you don't realize is that anything that's nonstick or stain resistant or grease proof has essentially Teflon. It's part of a class of chemicals called PFCs. And so when you... if you buy fast food, that wrapper, that greaseproof wrapper is coated in it. Your microwave popcorn bag, your carpeting, your, you know, everyone, it was, you know, we premiered the film at Sundance, and I looked at the audience who all had on their, you know, their weatherproof parkas on, and I said that, you know, that's got a, you know, this Teflon chemical on it. It's just, it's so hard. Tooth floss, you know, it's really hard to escape this chemical. So it's no wonder that it's in 99.7% of our bloodstream. And I'm glad you pointed out, because I think a lot of this, you know, in this sort of assault of bad news that we're getting these days, and it can wash over you that this is happening. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that we take notice, because none of us signed up for this. None of us agreed to to allow these chemical corporations to pollute our bodies. So what can we do, you know, on the personal level and on the national level to crack down on this?
And Stephanie, to add to your list, because I thought the same thing. I thought, I don't know how long we used Teflon when I was younger, and I don't believe I have Teflon pans now. But then looking at this list, as you mentioned, dental floss, popcorn bags, sleeping bags, the Gore-Tex clothing. So many people have Gore-Tex clothing. Airplanes, cars, you just really can't avoid it. And then this one was kind of shocking to learn that workers used Teflon to rust-proof the inside of the Statue of Liberty.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's
insane. It was, you know, really considered this miracle invention, right? That, you know, really far exceeded the fact that your muffins wouldn't stick to the pans. And it was used in so many ways. And it's, you know, still being used in so many ways. Even, you know, you can coat your car with it. So it became incredibly pervasive. And then what happened was, is all the small, you know, mom and pop shops across the country that were using it to Scotch guard their couches or your rugs, you know, those became contamination sites. So it is truly no one. Once you hear all that, you can really realize why it became just so pervasive that it's in all of us.
Talk more about the studies DuPont conducted and talk about what they found. I mean, everything from dogs dying, monkeys that had the lowest dose of Teflon were dying. They classified the chemical as an animal carcinogen. What else did their own studies show?
You know, starting really early on, they started noticing in their animal studies that exactly the things that you pointed out. They were noticing testicular tumors, and they knew that it was a problem. And internally, they discussed, you know, we should probably phase this out. This is going to be a big liability for us. And, you know, we have these internal documents showing, you know, the two sides of the corporation kind of battling with each other. You've got legal, you've got PR weighing in, and then you've got the chemists who are like, we should get rid of this. And legal and PR is weighing in on what a big nightmare this could be for them publicly. And ultimately, what was decided was that any replacement chemical that they would come out with would probably have its own set of problems. So the company concluded that they should stick with the devil we know, since it is better than the devil we don't know. And that's where we came up with our title. So they knew very early on that there were issues. And they also saw that women in their factory, there were, out of 8 women on a line, 2 of them had these babies born with deformities, serrated eyelids, pupil issues, you know, really pretty vivid deformities. And it was no coincidence that they found similar deformities in rat studies that they had been doing. So we very clearly were able to see the link, right, when we saw the rat study and then we saw these 2 women. But still, you know, for a little while, they took women off the line, off the Teflon line, when they became aware of this. But then they put them back in because, you know, it's we can speculate all we want, but it was the bottom line. So
the bottom line. Right. And I think lawyer Mike Papantonio has a key line in this film. He says, quote, and he's a lawyer who was taking on DuPont. He said, quote, "We want to make all the profits at DuPont as we want, and we want to pass all of the risks, the illness, the suffering, the cost of the cleanup onto the taxpayer." I mean, this is the way that these corporations operate. We do shows constantly about whether it's Exxon, DuPont, and what they knew decades ago and kept from the public. And in the case of DuPont, I mean, people are dying. So, you know, I think this is such a story of how corporations really run in the world.
That's such an interesting point. When we, my writing partner likes to say, this is a film about how business is done in America. And I think that's such we think of it as an eco thriller, or we think of it as an issue driven documentary, but it really does. It really lifts the curtain because we have the internal paper trail showing the decisions that were being weighed and made and why they were being made, the reasons for it. They were always financial, and they, you know, the corporations wield such incredible power over our government too. So they're able to continue to operate with impunity, and just the way our legislative system is set up. So this ingredient, C8, has actually, as a result of what happened in Parkersburg, been phased out. So you think, great, problem solved. Well, they do what almost every corporation does, is they introduce a new chemical. And so when a chemical comes into the marketplace, there is no governing body that is going to test that product to make sure it is safe for you. What happens is the company submits their tests and say, see, this is safe. We tested it. You're good. And somehow that has become acceptable in this country, that's okay. We're going to trust you. So when they phase out a product and introduce a new product, they buy themselves this, you know, decade or so, until somebody like the people of Parkersburg and Sharon Lerner and Rob Bellotta, Mike Papantonio, or us start to highlight what they're doing. So if we need to have some measure in place that stops things at the root of the problem here, that we cannot be relying on the people that stand to profit from a product to tell us that this product is safe, because clearly they have a very vested interest in doing so, and that interest is not our health.
And what makes it worse is that in this case, and in many cases, you also cannot rely on the government to protect you. Because as you point out in the film, DuPont put together a team of lawyers and scientists to defend the company, and it was led by a guy named Mike McCabe, former deputy administrator of the EPA. He was the number two guy at the EPA, and in 2003, through his company, McCabe and Associates, he worked for DuPont. So like so many things, one day he's at the EPA, the next day he's at DuPont.
Exactly. And it was just, you know, you hear about the revolving door, right? This isn't necessarily some brand new discovery, but I can't tell you how unnerving and truly unbelievable it is when you actually see emails and internal memos going back and forth of, you know, essentially, I'm going to call my friends at the EPA and this is what we're going to tell them, and we're going to ask them to do this and this for us. And the people at DuPont were drafting statements that they wanted the EPA to say, because the chemical Teflon was starting to get some bad press and people were onto it that things were bad. And so they needed the EPA to release a statement because it was affecting their bottom line. They were seeing it affecting their sales, and they wrote the statement for the EPA. And then you see the EPA releasing, you know, almost the exact wording that they have given them. So it, you know, you enter this territory where you're like, how do we protect ourselves when the very agency that's supposed to be protecting us is also compromised? What is the solution? And as a filmmaker, it becomes a real challenge to tell a story, because you don't want people to just throw up their hands and say, you know, we're screwed. What can we do? Mm-hmm. And sort of walk away, because you do get this fatigue when you hear that at every corner there is someone that's not looking out for your interest. But, you know, the people, you know, spoiler alert, the people of Parkersburg were successful when they took on DuPont. And they did some extraordinary things. So it is hopefully a really, you know, inspiring and informative tale, again, of just how important the voices of the individuals are, because it did work in that case, right? We have seen it work. And I think when you look at films like Blackfish, sometimes it's the only thing that works. You know, our voices are truly the only thing that are going to work, because the government's not looking out for us.
So true. Today, we are speaking with Stephanie Sukjig. She is a filmmaker who focuses on such important issues affecting public health and the environment. Her new documentary, The Devil We Know, shows how deeply impacted the residents of the Ohio River Valley are as a result of DuPont's practices, and shows evidence that the company knew for years that C8, the chemical that makes Teflon, had devastating health effects, but did not take steps to protect workers, neighbors, or even animals and the environment. And Teflon is in 99% of Americans' bloodstream. My blood, probably your blood. And it's not just the pans. It's in airplanes, cars, dental floss, food wrap, furniture, Gore-Tex clothing, so many everyday products that people use, Clorox bathroom cleaner. It is in these products. And if you have any questions or comments for Stephanie about this issue, we've done a lot of shows about Teflon and C8. Sharon Lerner at The Intercept has done incredible reporting. Stephanie does an amazing job of connecting the dots and elevating the voices of people who were affected by Teflon and who took on DuPont and ultimately won. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Stephanie, before we talk about the victory and individual stories, I love and appreciate that you say, as a filmmaker, you don't want people to leave just throwing their hands in the air, because we feel the same way. We talk about so many issues on this show, and we try to end by talking about solutions and talking about how people prevailed or fought back. So, I mean, what are your thoughts about where we are right now? Because, like you said in your film Tapped, you focused on contaminated water, and this film you're focusing on a chemical that we all have in our bloodstream. You know, at a time when, gosh, things are moving so far to the right. I mean, there is a lot of pushback, but the system in many ways is rigged, and you have companies and corporations so closely working together. Based on all the work that you've done at the community level, what do you think is most effective at this point?
You know, I think that there isn't just one thing that's so effective. I think, as the film shows, it is about being vocal. You know, you can't, democracy is a participatory sport. And if you think somebody else is looking out for you, this film will clearly show you that that's not the case. I want to just, you know, quickly add to that, you can see the film right now on iTunes and Amazon, and it's streaming on demand. So if, I don't think I've mentioned where you can see the film, but what's been a real catalyst for change, I think, in one way, is being able to bring a film like this to a community and allow the community to watch. Because what was really interesting in Parkersburg is they fought the people that were taking on DuPont. This is a community where a lot of jobs were brought in by DuPont, and it's a very beloved company. So the idea that anybody would say anything bad about this company, they were met with a lot of animosity. These were not looked at as hometown heroes. These were looked at as troublemakers that should just be quiet. And, you know, we're not sick, so it can't be that bad. It's hard to deny that there's some wrongdoing when you watch the film and you actually, you know, hear it from the mouth of DuPont themselves, that they knew what was going on, when you see that other companies stopped using the product, but DuPont continued to use it. So I think the first step is knowledge. I think a lot of us don't even know this. I do this for a living, and I still was astonished at the amount of levels of or sites of contamination that we could be exposed to. So knowledge is power. I think rallying starting small. So bringing the film to a school and saying, what can we do better for our kids here? How can we protect them, right? My son's school has these BPA-laden 5-gallon jugs of water that they're giving them. So you start at that level. And then there's so many movements happening where you can lend your voice to. I mean, the Environmental Working Group, who we feature in the film, does just the most, and is up by you, right? Does just the most extraordinary work that I've ever seen. And they have this app and website for healthy child, healthy world, and a healthy living app. And you can put in all your products and they'll rate them for you. So I thought I was using, even just weeks ago, I thought, I'm using this eco-friendly detergent, and I put it in the app, and it wasn't. So much has been done to make our lives a little bit easier. I mean, with regards to C8, I mean, unfortunately, not to really ring the bell of doom, but it is just one of 80,000 chemicals out there that's not being regulated. So there are many things that you have to look out for, and I've been really grateful, and I have no affiliation with EWG, so I have no vested interest in plugging them. They're just a godsend, I think, as a human being and especially as a mother, to be able to check on the products that I'm using. And, you know, I think a lot of people think it doesn't matter when you add your voice to a petition or send a letter to your elected officials. And I really learned in making Under the Gun just how powerful our voices are. When you pick up the phone and you call your legislator, like, it is noted, it is written down, it is recorded. And the louder the voices are, the more compelled they are to take action. So if, you know, I don't mean to be all over the place, but there's a lot of ways to get involved. And, you know, doing anything is better than doing nothing. So we've also tried to make it really easy for people on our website, thedevilweknow.com. We have a chemical detox challenge that you can take. And for 10 days, we'll send you an email where we'll tell you how to reduce your own exposure to these chemicals, not just C8, but other chemicals that we think are important to avoid in the various parts of your life. And then there's simple things like opening the windows in your house and vacuuming your furniture because these chemicals cling to dust. So there is a lot that can be done that are really simple things as well, too. I mean, overall, it is hard to avoid exposure to these chemicals. But the question we have to ask ourselves is that okay? Are we going to sit back and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. It is what it is. Or are we going to do anything, no matter how small it is, just take one step to say, actually, this isn't okay. I'm not okay with this. And we have, you know, petitions and letters that you can sign online. And, you know, I would just, I really think, to go back to Blackfish and even an Inconvenient Truth, you know, these efforts have a lasting impact. Corporations are in the business of selling things, and if we stop buying them, they will adjust, and the chemistry exists to do better. So it just needs, you know, a bunch of upset people to voice their opinions.
Today we are speaking with filmmaker Stephanie Sukchig about her new documentary, The Devil We Know. It exposes how DuPont and the EPA failed to protect workers, residents, and the environment from toxic chemicals. Citizens took on DuPont and won. It is a very important documentary. As Stephanie said, it is screening online on demand, but there are also community screenings happening across the country, and you can find information at yourcallradio.org. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
Law enforcement agencies have been destroying hundreds of evidence kits connected to sexual assault cases, commonly known as rape kits. Some are now rethinking how they handle sex crime cases after an investigation by CNN. But for the victims, apologies are not enough. Reporter Ashley Fonts on her investigative series, Destroyed. Next time on 1A.
You can hear 1A 1/2 hour from now at 11 o'clock, right after Your Call here on KALW. There are many ways you can take part in the conversation on Your Call. You can call us on the telephone. You can send us an email to yourcall@kalw.org. You may go to our website, yourcallradio.org. If you'd like to participate in today's show by telephone, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. You can also tweet us at Your Call Radio.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today we are talking about the new documentary, The Devil We Know. It exposes how DuPont and the EPA failed to protect workers, residents, and the environment from toxic chemicals that were used to make Teflon, which is in the blood of 99% of us, me and you. Citizens took on DuPont and won. And we're speaking with award-winning filmmaker Stephanie Sukchig about her new documentary. It's an amazing documentary. You can find it on demand. There are also community screenings across the country. You can see the trailer and look for screening information at yourcallradio.org. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. And let's hear from Greg in Palo Alto. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for this program. A couple of things. I applaud the efforts to try and educate the public about this. And you mentioned one thing that was, I think you mentioned BPA. And that's a real concern for me because you can't avoid that product or that chemical, regardless of what you try. I mean, plastics are everywhere. And I'm sure it's used in other things, but to try and get any action on that is pretty difficult. We have Prop 65 in the state of California, but all they need to do is give you a warning. And most of the time, if you go into a store or whatever, the warning is in such small print and not very well displayed that it's pretty difficult. And that's just a warning. They're not eliminating them. So I think people need to remember that and other chemicals are ubiquitous, but it's also, this is our economic and political system that we live in. Capitalism, profits are more important than people's health. So although this is a right step, I think people need to keep that in mind. If they get rid of BPA, they'll find something else, like you're mentioning. So it's an uphill struggle, even in the state of California, where we passed, like I said, Prop 65. We need to even do more, and I appreciate what you're doing. But this is really a tough uphill fight to try and get people to do that. Even in my local level where I live, it's tough to get people to do it. So thanks again.
Thank you. Yeah, it is tough, right? It's definitely, this is not for the faint of heart, and it's definitely not easy street. And I think that's where we as citizens have to ask ourselves, what can we do? And it's hard, right? Because we're all busy and we're all juggling 100 things. And the reality is we should be doing better, right? The government should be doing better, but it's not. So what can we do, and what do we do? And, you know, we do offer steps that you can take on the personal level. And, you know, Greg, your struggle is real. I feel you. When it comes to BPA, it is a difficult thing to avoid, but there are ways to avoid it. And I hope you'll find the Chemical Detox Challenge a useful tool in figuring some of that out.
Well, thank you for calling in, Greg. We have an email from Carolyn who says, I do feel discouraged and not sure what can be done. While I appreciate that the film was made, just like Michael Moore's films, which expose a lot of wrongdoing, there's a large segment of the population that's ignorant and refuses to see the facts. So what can one do? You know, I think what's so interesting about films like yours, Stephanie, that go into various communities across the country, it's just so sad to see people because they believe that the government is protecting them.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a clip which we'll play in a bit, but a lot of the people in your film said, you turn on the tap and you expect that in a country like the United States, the government makes sure that that water is clean. And then these people find out that they have cancer or that their baby is deformed, and it affects the entire community. And in many cases, that's what prompts them to take action.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's true. I mean, you know, we're living in a time where, you know, a climate change report comes out and our president doesn't believe it. So who isn't feeling discouraged? And like, what can you do? But that's no reason to give up, right? And you know, I don't mean to sound like a cheerleader, but it's even more reason to get involved. And you're never going to convince everyone. But can you convince? And can you convince five people? Right? Because maybe they'll convince five people. And that's how a movement starts. I mean, nothing good really happens overnight, unfortunately. But that's why we have to remain so vigilant and so vocal, because the corporations, I think, want us to give up. They want us to be discouraged and throw up our hands. And so, you know, I feel you, because I feel like I'm surrounded by bad news all the time. And you do kind of feel like it'd be easier just to put my head in the sand. And there are days that I do, to be honest. But we can't, you know, we really can't. And it, you know, you have to look at it at the mini victories of the, you know what, I got three people today to throw out their Teflon pans. Great. That's three less people that are going to be doing that. And you have to start there. And, you know, we're really fortunate in a day in this day where we have social media, which, you know, has its downside, but it has its upsides, where you can reach masses of people. So you can post this, post the trailer, post articles, things to, you know, get your host a screening in your school, just share it with a friend. It has to be, it's the little steps that will add up. And I do believe that it can work. We just have to be loud enough and determined enough to do it.
Well, thank you for the email, Carolyn. Irene wrote in asking for the app that you mentioned. I believe that's the Environmental Working Group. And in addition to searching for chemicals, you can search for basic brands of shampoo and makeup. It's an amazing website, ewg.org. They also tell you that, you know, if you can't afford all organic food, these are the foods you should try to buy organic because of all of the pesticides. It is so much work. That's where we're at right now, unfortunately. But the website does offer so much important information. It's ewg.org, Environmental Working Group. Let's go next to Dick in San Francisco. Hi, Dick. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was in the Air Force in 1961 as an electronics technician, and we started seeing equipment with wiring coated with Teflon insulation. And we were issued a safety warning from the Inspector General for Safety in the Air Force, warning us not to do any soldering, which required a great amount of heat on the wire, because the Teflon could melt and cause us to become ill. And when I got out of the service and I started seeing Teflon on frying pans, I knew that I was not going to go near that. And it was many years before I succumbed and figured that maybe the industry has cleaned it up and it's no longer as dangerous as it had been.
It's funny, Dick. I thought that they cleaned it up, too, when I first read about this story. I thought, didn't we take care of that when all the birds died? Remember those newscasts where all of a sudden everyone who was cooking in their kitchen with Teflon pans, there were all these reports of birds dying? And
I don't remember that, but I don't doubt it.
yeah.
But it was dangerous stuff when it first appeared. The other comment I have to make is, I think if we're going to wait for the population to become educated and informed enough to realize that this is a dangerous product and they should stop buying products that contain the Teflon, I think that's real wishful thinking, personally, because if we look at the amount of air pollution and water pollution and every other kind of pollution that's going on now, and it still goes on because people are willing to accept it, what can we do? Well, I think the answer is, and this is not going to be popular, is very strong government regulation, allowing or having rules and laws in place that say to a company, you can't produce something like this. You will be fined very heavily if you do, because it's dangerous for our population. Mm-hmm. We're not at that point, and I don't know if we'll ever get there. But beyond that, or outside of that, I don't know what could take place to eliminate the manufacture of these substances. That's my comment.
Thank you, Dick.
And I just was wondering, Dick, how is your health today? Are you in touch with anyone you worked with back in the 60s? And do you know how their health is today?
No, I do not know anything about people I knew back then. My health is pretty good. I don't think I'm suffering from anything related to Teflon.
Good.
But that's because I followed the rules. I didn't burn Teflon, and I didn't inhale fumes. So
what's interesting, though,
using it on frying pans and other utensils, yeah, I've been exposed to it. I don't know that it's hurt me. I don't know that it hasn't hurt me.
Well, thank you so much, Dick. Stephanie?
Yeah, we're seeing, really massive contaminations around military sites, especially Air Force bases, because one of the Teflon is used in firefighting foam. And so they're seeing a lot of this, not only in our firefighters, but especially in our military bases. So Aaron Brockovich is actually leading a tremendous campaign to protect our men and women in uniform, because you're just seeing such incredibly high water contamination rates around our military bases. So it's, an incredibly un-American thing that we're exposing these heroes to. So it's interesting to hear that anecdote from Dick. And they're actually, it's funny that he talks about the heating up, because there is something that they called internally the Teflon flu. And people would come home from the factory with these flu-like symptoms. And DuPont was well aware of it, that this exposure to breathing it in could cause you to have what they called as the Teflon flu. And I think on our Facebook page, we actually released some, these are some of the extras that you get when you buy the film, about the Teflon flu, about these birds that were dying. Again, just more and more signs pointing to the fact that this wasn't something that you wanted to be a part of. And I would, encourage people, when you now are looking at your pans and you want to buy new ones, you're going to see a lot of pans that say that they are PFOA free. PFOA is another name for for C8, essentially, or the class of perfluorinated chemicals. And that does not mean anything, just like BPA-free does not mean anything. It just means that they have another chemical that we don't know anything about in it. So I just want to encourage everyone to be mindful that, it, you know, these chemicals, again, just because they're replacement chemicals doesn't mean that they're better chemicals.
So that raises a few questions. Is DuPont still using C8? When we buy things like sleeping bags or popcorn bags or Gore-Tex clothing, is C8 still used in these products?
So technically they've phased out C8, and they've replaced it with another chemical called Gen-X, which, or mm-hmm. C6. So it's just a matter of, and not being a chemist, this is like, I'm the worst person to be trying to explain this to you, but it is my understanding that the you know, there's 8 fluorocarbons in a C8, and so the replacement just has 6. And in some ways, people are actually thinking that's worse. I just heard someone from an environmental working group saying, as a result, now there's concern that the replacement chemical won't be caught by the water filters that they were forced to put on in some of these towns. As a result of the lawsuit against them. So
wow.
They can say that they're PFOA-free, but all it means is that instead of C8, it's C6. So it's just, it becomes, you know, essentially branding. You just tweak one thing and it's a new chemical.
Worse. Wow.
But how do you protect yourself, right? When I hear us, you know, like what your point about if you can't afford all organic vegetables and what to buy, I think, okay, well, you know, there's lessons that we learned from Fed Up as well, too, for cost effectiveness. So to avoid BPA, instead of buying canned beans, you can buy dried beans, right? For organic vegetables, if you can't afford them, you can buy frozen organic vegetables. Those are a lot cheaper. For pans, my family has chosen to switch to cast iron and enamel and stainless steel. I get calls all the time, people saying, can I buy the green pan? Can I buy this pan? That, you know, the bottom line is that we don't know a lot about them. I do know that there is no coating on a stainless steel pan. Does it mean my eggs stick a little bit? Sometimes. I mean, I've kind of mastered the nonstick stainless steel pan, if I do say so myself. But it requires a little bit of patience. And I think we're so used to convenience now that, you know, there's this resistance to maybe having to figure out a new way to do things. But there are ways. You can get, you know, a charcoal filter on your water. There are things you can do to protect your family. You can't just throw in the towel. As frustrating as it is, you know, the alternative is doing nothing. And that's, you know, that should be really unacceptable to us.
Yes. And people, we got an email from Andy, who is renovating her home on a fixed budget. Is there a website that offers research for safe alternatives? If you're looking for things like carpet, doors, couches, and you want to stay away from these chemicals. Because they can be, they are very expensive. You can buy organic mattresses and organic couches. They're very expensive.
I so feel you. We just bought a mattress because, you know, just saying organic isn't actually enough. There's a little bit more to it. And we mentioned this in the Detox Challenge. And even I was resisting buying this mattress because of the cost, right? And I kept trying to convince my husband. I said, you know, you spend a third of your life in your bed and you're laying on flame retardant. Why wouldn't you invest the money? So I really appreciate how difficult it is when you've got something that's three times the cost of the cheaper alternative. Environmental Working Group also offers what you want to look for when you're buying a mattress or a couch, the actual wording that you need to see. And you know, I can't tell you how much I relate to the dilemma of when you have so many expenses adding up during a renovation and you just want to get a deal on something. But it really becomes a pay now or pay later. You know, I don't think we've actually touched upon what they have found C8 causing. And so while, while it may be a cheaper price tag now, it's not going to be a cheaper price tag down the line. And in a study, they did find that C8 was linked to things like testicular cancer, kidney cancer, elevated cholesterol, ulcerative colitis. I'm doing my mental checklist of a preeclampsia. You know, our babies being born today are found to have over 200 chemicals, many of which are cancer-causing in their umbilical cord. So you get what you, as my dad always said growing up, you get what you pay for. So it really, you have to look at it as an investment.
Stephanie, I wish we had another hour, but I do. We have about 5 minutes left. I want to talk about some of the people in the film because it's just heartbreaking when you hear them tell their stories and what they've been through. The film opens with Sue Bailey, a former DuPont employee who worked with Teflon. Water was discharged from the Teflon, and her job was to pump it out back into the river. And as you point out in the film, in documents, 3M told DuPont not to release the water in the river, but they did it anyway, and at one point they lost track of how much they released. So when Sue Bailey was pregnant, she was in direct contact with the chemicals. And her baby, Bucky, had deformities. He was missing a nostril. His eyes were not level. And in the film, she speaks with you and says that DuPont tried to blame her. They said it was something she did. And the more they said that, the more suspicious she got. We don't have that much time, but can you just tell us the story about Sue Bailey? And, I mean, we meet Bucky later in life as he gets married and has his own baby. I mean, it's just an amazing story.
Yeah, so when she had this baby, they didn't think he was going to make it through the night, given his deformities. They'd never, you know, this was a time before ultrasound, so this was a complete shock to her, and she was terrified. And he did make it through the night. And when she went back to work, somebody said, you know, there's another baby that was born just like your baby. And she spoke to the woman, and they both worked on the line, and the woman had a very similar story to tell. And she went to DuPont. She said, just tell me. You know, I just want to know. And it was interesting because she's like, I just wanted them to say, we're sorry. We made a mistake. We didn't know. She's like, I really would have forgiven them had they said that. Mm. But they were like, no, it has nothing to do with us. This is something you did. You didn't take good care of yourself. And then they went so far as to tell her she didn't even work on the Teflon line. So it was, you know, crazy-making things that they did to her. And she couldn't leave the company because she needed the benefits because she had this child now with special needs. So she needed the health care. Mm-hmm. So she was forced to continue going back to the very company that poisoned her. And, you know, just the lifelong doubt that you harbor and guilt, you know, thinking, what if it was me? What if it was a decision that I made that she had to go through? And now, you know, the C8 is so pervasive that it actually impacts your DNA. So now, when Bucky wants to have children, as you see in the film, there's a huge chance he's going to pass that on to his children. So we follow his journey into fatherhood and what that holds for him.
What's amazing is when Bucky and his wife tried to get pregnant, they wanted to find out what his C8 levels were, and they were higher than what his mom had in her bloodstream.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating, right? And I don't know the explanation for why that was. You know, there's many theories as to what that could mean. But I think what's, you know, so devastating about C8 is what a long shelf life it has. I mean, it's, when, as one of our guests says, like, when you die and bury you, you will still have it in your blood. It is a very persistent chemical that sticks around for a long time. So he had this transferred to him in utero, and then a lifelong of exposure living in that town and other ways as well too, and it alters your DNA. So what are the effects for his family to come going forward?
And as you point out, DuPont's own studies show dogs dying, liver disease, pancreatic disease. I think what's so hard is I keep hearing about so many younger people with cancer and various diseases. It seems like I just hear about a friend of a friend or a family member having something happen. And the hard part is you just can't pinpoint it. So you can't say, my friend has liver disease because he grew up near a Teflon plant, right? I mean, that's the difficult part about all of this. Even though the studies show that this happens, once you have this disease, you don't know why you got it. I mean, you can assume if you live in certain communities, but that makes it very difficult.
Yeah, it's extremely frustrating. And, during his administration, President Obama convened a cancer panel, and they determined mm-hmm. that we've grossly underestimated the role of exposure to environmental contaminants play in our staggering cancer rates. Right. There's a little bit of common sense that we just have to have. And I, appreciate that it doesn't necessarily, buy you any sort of retribution from the chemical corporation, but... yes, we're hearing a lot more of it. And that's one of the whistleblowers in this, he was a gym teacher and he got a notice saying, hey, this chemical's in your water. Don't worry about it. We've tested it. No big deal, that DuPont set out. And he started thinking, about all the kids around him that had cancer and rotting mm-hmm. teeth. And he's like, there's something here. There's something that's not right. And instead of throwing that letter out like everybody else in the town did, he was like, I'm going to look into this. And that's really what started this whole thing.
Well, and again, not to give anything away, but we don't want to leave people throwing their hands in the air, because citizens took on DuPont with the help of dedicated lawyers and they won. So what is your takeaway from this, Stephanie, at a time when, corporations are very close to politicians on both sides of the aisle, and we just learn every day more about this kind of corruption? What is your takeaway from this victory?
I think it shows that when citizens refuse to be silenced, the results can be extremely powerful. And, what the people did in Parkersburg, West Virginia, launched a decades-long series of events that truly changed the world in which we live in. So go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I just think their example is such a powerful one. A lot of people wanted to write them off, as they say, as, Hicks in West Virginia. And they refused to be labeled as such.
Well, I hope you can see this documentary. It's called The Devil We Know. It is streaming online. There's also community events happening. If you're in the Bay Area, it'll be screening at the main library in San Francisco tomorrow at 6:00. There are also other screenings across the country. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. And today we've been speaking with the award-winning filmmaker Stephanie Suchtig. Her new film is called The Devil We Know. Stephanie, thank you for all your work. And, we'd love to have you back in the new year so we can continue this conversation about how to empower people so they can make choices to keep them and their communities healthy and safe. Thank you so much for all of your work.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
And again, you can find more information about The Devil We Know at yourcallradio.org, and we will continue to do shows about these very important issues. Your Call is produced here at KALW. You can listen to past shows and sign up for our podcast, yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Laura Wenis for producing today's show and Kevin Vance, our studio engineer. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.